Good morning. Glad to have each and every one of you here today. You know, we have had this strange weather for a while, and it keeps going up and down like a roller coaster. But you know, these nice days like today make it all worthwhile. It's really nice to enjoy them, especially the day we get to come and worship our Heavenly Father. You know, I've entitled our lesson this morning, A Woman of Rare Character. If you realize that our character is often revealed by the circumstances that we face in life. You know, as we go about our lives, whether man or female, and we go along and we come up on events that happen, oftentimes we have no idea how we're going to react in that given situation until it arises. And then when it does, we're called to make a special reaction. Think about that. How your character is how you act when you're not been confronted with a similar situation before. And you isolate the problem and you begin to act correctly. Well, such a woman by the name of Ruth in our scriptures is a prime example of that. She was a woman of great character. She found herself facing several problems which called her to make some radical choices. You know, she was in a country land that she lived in and ultimately will end up into a foreign country. And all that while, she showed grace and poise and character and love for somebody else other than herself. You know, her characteristics showed her when she was in those most difficult time of her true loyalty, her love, her faithfulness and devotion and integrity. When others could be suffering and she could have made herself better off, she chose not to do that. It's a life that we look at someone, we see at times and we admire, how could they do that? And yet it's because of the true character of her nature. And that's what Ruth did. And because of this, she earned a role in the play of the development of the Israel nation. She deserved a place in their history because of the role that she played. You know, since biblical times, Ruth's name has been a popular name. There was a fellow by the name of Elson C. Smith who did an assemblage of the various names in America and find which ones were the most popular, and the top 100 is what he centered on. At the time he did the study, he found out that Ruth was number 7 in our nation. Now, it's fallen from that level in the last few years, but it's still very popular because of what it represented. And it represented a lady that was extremely loyal and loving. See, there's a significance. You know, in the Old Testament, a lot of times names had meaning. And Ruth is that way. Ruth actually signifies sight. Now, if you translate that into English, it means something worth looking at. Something of great brightness or gleaming, something that had value. And if you look also, it was translated as friendship, as a friend of God. Now, if we take those two definitions of this application of Ruth and we apply it to her, we could understand then that she received that name because she was someone who had great ethics. She had someone who happened to live and give to others first. She was one who considered two primary people in her life. After the loss of her husband, we'll find in a minute, she centered in on her mother-in-law who needed her assistance and the God that she worshipped. She left her country to be with that person. Now, the book of Ruth, the author is unknown. And the book is written to reveal her life, and yet it is believed that it was written sometime much after her life ended. It was believed to be written either during the time of King David or after his lifetime shortly. As the author explains that Ruth lived during the days of the judges, when they had judges and they were dealing with those issues. And there was this man named Elimelech. And along with his wife Naomi and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they were forced to leave Israel, Bethlehem of Judah, and to go to a foreign country because of a great famine. And so they went to the land of Moab. Now, possibly this did occur during the Mennonite possession there of the land as they were taking over Israel there and possessing them. And it could have been what was referred to in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8. It's not really sure, but those things seem to compare with the circumstances going on when she left. That is Naomi and her husband and her sons. Well, there in Moab, unfortunately, considering their ideas and their rituals and their ways, their sons married Moab women, become their brides. One was named Orpha and the other was Ruth. And things didn't really go all that well for a period of time, because what happened was Elimelech died. And not too long after that, both her sons died. It left Naomi in a foreign land with her two daughters-in-law. She's in a foreign country, and those who connected them together were all gone. And so as she looked around, she realized and had heard word that Israel now was no longer in the drought or a famine. And so as a result of that, she decides, I'm going to go back to my home country, because there I have friends and things I don't have here. And so by this time, then she realized that now she had these two daughter-in-laws that were part of her family and part of her life. And so when she left, they all left together. And then she realized, you know, this may not be the best thing for them to do, to go to a strange country without their family around. And so she tries to convince them to go back to their home and to their parents' family, and there they can start a life anew, get married again and have children and go on and be successful. It'd be a lot easier on them. Well, they both said no, that they would go with her. And so as a result of that, she believed that the reason they were doing that was out of personal or emotional reasons. See, they became quite close. After all three of them had just experienced within a short period of time the loss of their husbands. Naomi was not only her husband, she lost her sons. They were in great agony and misery over this event. However, they had clinged together and they had found love between the three. And so in order for them to separate would cause great weeping on their parts, but she was looking out, Naomi, for the girls. She wanted them to survive in an area they were more familiar with, and somewhere they could find a husband and settle down and have a family, something that would be a normal for them. You know, in the ancient custom, it was that if a husband and wife, the husband died, and if he had a brother, it was a custom that he was then to marry his brother's widow and then give her a child so that she would have something to carry on for her. And it went back further than Moses. But in Moses, he writes in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 5 through 10 that they were to do that very thing. Now, it was a law there in Leviticus that told them, Deuteronomy, that this is something they were supposed to do in honor. Well, it actually started before them. If we go back in even Genesis chapter 38, in Genesis chapter 38, there was an individual who was given that opportunity, in fact, given that directive. We find that Judah takes the wife of his brother's widow, his brother's widow, and he was told that she had to give her a child. Now, he agreed that he would marry her, but he refused to give her a child. And as a result of that, God took his life. It was a custom started that it was to help families survive and go on, because the idea was to bear children and therefore have family support and care. And when he didn't do that, God took his life. However, Naomi reminded her daughter-in-law that now she was never going to have any more children, and she had no more sons. There was no one to fill that role for them. So it would be better for them if they went back to their families and found a husband where they could have a family and a normal life. Well, at that, Orpah decided that she would go ahead and go back, and she gave her a kiss and said goodbye and left, but Ruth refused to do that. Ruth was dedicated and committed not only to Naomi, but also to the life she'd come accustomed to with her and the God that she worshipped. Now, while Orpah went back and restarted the life that she had with the family and the ways, the rituals, and the faith of the gods of Moab, Ruth didn't want to do that. She had come to understand and believe in what she had when she married into Naomi's family. She came to love Naomi and the family and her husband and also the God that she worshipped, and she wanted to remain there. She was loyal. And even though that Naomi wanted her to go back, she was not a fair-weather type relative. She had come to understand, believe, and loved the life she had with him, and she wasn't about to change just because her husband had passed away. She felt that obligation to take care of Naomi and to worship the God. She said, I'll go wherever you go. I'll live wherever you live, and I'll be there to worship the God that you worship, that I've come to love as well, and we're going to be together, and please don't force me to leave. You know, if we look at this, we understand that the characteristic that's most appreciated in life is truly have somebody loyal, be it a mate or a friend. When they have that loyalty between those, they are invaluable when times of trouble come along, because you know you can always count on them. They're there to help you. No matter what the circumstances may be, they endure difficulties and they remain steadfast, even during the most trying of times. Loyalty grows out of faith and love. Giving to yourself or someone else when it may cause you to be uncomfortable or difficult, but because of your love and faith towards them, you decide that I give that and I give them my support and my effort to make sure. And that's the way Ruth felt about Naomi. She wanted to make sure she was taken care of, because she wasn't as young as she was, and she understood that life could be very difficult for her. Ruth refused to leave, and Naomi pleaded with her to go ahead and go back and have that comfortable life that she could have, and she said, no, please don't make me leave. And so she stayed with her. And because of that, God is going to bless her, and Naomi as well. You know, the two factors that we understand that are of so important, that go hand in hand, is the faith and love for another. The faith and love for God. And not only for God, but for all that he represents and has us to do. You know, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said this in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. He talks about this very issue, how we are to give our love to God and those around us and treat them fair as well. And look at Mark 12, so we'll start here in verse 30. As Jesus speaks and says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. Ruth's faith, love, and loyalty could not be denied. All the things that Naomi told her was for what she felt would have been better off for her. But Ruth's concern was for Naomi and her life, and she would dedicate. She was married to her son, and Naomi knew that she was a good wife. Both of them had good wives to her sons, and that's why she had affection for them as well. But she was determined that she was going to go forth and help her, and she would stay company with Naomi wherever she went, and if that's going back to Israel, that was fine with her. And so we look at Ruth now, chapter 1. Look down in verse 19 through 22, and here we find the homecoming. Ruth and Naomi go back to Naomi's home there in Bethlehem. And when they arrive there, the women look at her, Naomi, and they can see that she has had trouble and stress in her life. It shows on her face even that she's went through some bad times. And as a result of that, we find here in verses 20 and 21 where Naomi describes what she went through and describes the pain that they see in her face. Read with me Ruth chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. As Naomi says, but she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt with me very bitterly, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? You see, she was expressing her sorrow, her anguish that she had over the experiences. At that point in time, she allowed it to control her thoughts and her issues towards God. She was blaming him for this event. And as a result, she was allowing it to control her life at that point. She said, why do you call me Naomi for? That word means pleasant. You call me Mara. That term refers to bitter, and that's what she was. She had become bitter because of the tragedies in her life. And she was allowing it to rule her and guide her at that time. But Ruth was there, and she was going to see that that would change. She wasn't going to allow that to continue. And then in Ruth 2, verse 1 through 17, we see that God required the children of Israel to make provisions for the poor by giving them an opportunity to glean in the field. If they were poor, had no land, they should have the opportunity to go and eat off the excess of that land. In fact, because of that, they were given an order back in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 through 10, as what the Jewish people were to do. how they were to make sure that the poor would have something to eat. And they did this by what it says here. Look at verse 9 and 10, Leviticus 19. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your fields, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. You shall not glean your vineyards, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You should leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now Ruth was not a lady of means. Neither was Naomi at this time. They both were just scratching to get by. And so she decided, I'm taking on this right that the Lord has given to the poor. And she's going to go out and glean in the fields. And you realize that when it said that, that wasn't welfare. That wasn't a gift. You see, the point was, if they were willing to work, if you want to come out here, they're willing to work for their food, then we're going to make sure that there's some food left for them. Because if they're not willing to work, then they should be willing just to go hungry. So it was a way of letting them take care of themselves at the same time as providing a way they could do that. And so without knowing who Boaz was, Ruth went to the field of Boaz. Now he was a kinsman of Elimelech. That was her father-in-law who had passed away. And there was a Jewish law in reference to that, who, when they had that title of a close relative, they had certain obligations, but Ruth had no knowledge of this, none whatsoever. And it took a while before Elimelech even realized who she was and what she was doing. Well, anyway, it didn't take long before he realized that she was out there in the field working. And so he talked to his servants about her, and they told her what a great worker she was. She came, she even asked permission before she could come in, and so he thought about her, and he was quite impressed. He told his young men, you leave her alone. Don't you disturb her or harass. You leave her alone, allow her. He goes to her, to Ruth, and he says, look, you don't glean in any other fields. You stay here and glean in my fields. You're welcome. He understood by that time this was the Moabite who had come back with Naomi, that close relative of his. And as a result, he took care of her, and he said, you know what, Naomi, you can have the freedom and feel that any time you need to, you can go to the vessels of water that are out there provided for my people, for my workers, and you can have a drink all you want. He was taking care of her. He was very pleased in how she stood up for this woman that was a relative of his, even when she didn't need to. Ruth was grateful from Boaz for his kindness, and he further explained, because the Lord God is blessing you because of what you're doing for her. And he is doing that also because you trust in God. Now, if we look over in Ruth chapter 2, verse 18 through 23, we see at the end of the day what Ruth did after she'd gleaned out there in the field. She would then take it off, and she would go in and thresh it. And out of that threshing, she collected an ephod, or about 20 or 25 pounds of barley. That's what she had gathered that day. And then that evening, her and Naomi would sit around and they would visit. And Naomi asked her that day, where did you go and glean? What land did you go into? And so Naomi told her, well, I went to the land and I worked there where the fellow whose name is Boaz. Immediately, Naomi knew that she had received some blessings by what she was able to gather, and that this near relative had apparently recognized who she was. So there in Ruth 2, verse 19 and 20, we find this conversation. Ruth 2, starting in verse 19. And her mother-in-law said, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relations. Naomi understood that already Ruth was being blessed, given an opportunity that others may not have had. Because of her character, his love, her kindness, her devotion for her and for God himself. So she was being already rewarded in that way. And as a result of that, she knew that because Ruth had just chanced. She didn't know who Boaz was. She just chanced to happen to come across his land and go in. And she was perhaps guided there. Nevertheless, she knew that she was something that was being taken care of. In fact, it changed Naomi's attitude. Remember back in verse 20 of first chapter how she said, how she bitter she was. The Almighty hath dealt with me bitterly. Well, now, as she spoken here in verse 20 of Ruth 2, she said, his kindness to the living and the dead. She reverted her bitterness because she realized the Lord was now helping her. Now, there's no direct indication in the scriptures that any miracle was taking place here. But we must recognize that he played a part, that is God, in the events surrounding their lives. It's important to understand as Christians today that no matter what we're going through, the Lord is there. He understands what we're feeling, the troubles we're experiencing, and the difficulties we have. And he can help us without any actual miracle, just through the course of natural things. As we look at those events unfold, we usually call that the providence of God. Being in the right place at the right time, when things that we didn't understand, she had no idea who Boaz was, but that's the field she went in. It affects us that way as well today. Sometimes we find good things happening and we had no idea what brought this all on. Maybe it doesn't even make any sense to us, but it's always the providence of God. Ruth now was facing some new challenges. She did not choose an easy way. When she came to be with Naomi, she had to be the one to go out and provide. Get the food, provide the living for her. And she did that every day. She went out and conducted herself in a manner that would take care. God looked at her and said she would not, nor did she, ever reject Naomi. Remember, that was her priority. She put her life aside to make sure Naomi was taken care of. And as a result of that, God blessed them both with the security and comfort that they would have never had they stayed in Moab. Now, there's so much more to share about the story of Ruth, but we don't have time this morning. So let's jump ahead to the epitaph of Ruth. Look at Ruth 4 and look down to verse 13 through 22. It is there we find Ruth and Boaz. They come together, they get married, and they have a child. This child's name is Obed. Now again, Naomi is blessed because now she has a child in her life. A small child given to her, and because of Ruth's insistence, she is the grandmother of this child. And she's there to raise him and be with him and to nurse him as a mother or a grandmother would do. And it gave her great joy. In fact, the women there in the area she lived, they came together and told her what a great blessing this was. Look at Ruth chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. And this is what these women said, starting with verse 14 in Ruth 4. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel," referring to the child Obed. "And may he be to you a restorer, a lot of life and nourisher in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, he is better than seven sons has bore him." Naomi served as the nurse there to Obed and helped raise him. And as a result of that, if you know any of your history at all, you realize that Obed went on to become the father of Jesse. Jesse went on to become the father of King David. King David was the lineage in which the Christ came to this world. And it all became because Ruth, at the direction of her love and devotion and God's providence, came to take care of Naomi at a crisis in her life. And she was faithful and honored her and carried her life through her. And ultimately, through that adventure and through that dedication, the lineage of David through Christ was completed at that point. You know, several times Satan had tried to destroy that lineage so that it would never take place, but he didn't allow it. God always finds a way to do what he has. And in this case, Ruth was used as part of that reasoning deal. You know, we should learn today that righteousness also accompanied with love pays off. And so as a result of that, we know that the beautiful character of Ruth is a result that brought in some existing and changes in the whole relationship of the Jewish nation by allowing David to be born through this lineage that was started back when Ruth and this fellow, I forgot his name, I'm sorry, but the fellow she married there, they came together, and as a result of that, through Ruth, there was a lineage set up that went on to be the lineage of David and come down through Christ. You know, life is so precious and short. Don't waste a minute of it. Jesus only spent 33 years approximately on this earth, from birth to death. Only three of those during his service, during his ministry, did he bring us the opportunity and deliver the greatest news ever delivered to mankind, our salvation. He spent 30 years preparing for those moments that he went out and delivered this message and gave birth to what we call the church today. He paid for it with his blood. He gave us the directions and the honor. Don't allow that event for naught. Jesus sacrificed himself for us. As a result of that, we now have that route of salvation. And if we remain faithful through our life, if we obey the things he tells us to do, if we believe in him with all our heart, repent of our sins, confess his name, and are baptized, and then remain faithful, we have a gift beyond our imagination. The gift of the eternal crown of life in the bliss of heaven itself. That's what he paid for on that cross for us to have. We should never take that for granted. We should always understand that it's there because Jesus asks and pleads for everyone to take advantage of that. The door is open for any and everyone who is willing to participate. You know, if you are in the body today and you have fallen short in your commitment, his arms are stretched out today to receive you home. But even more important, if you're not in that body today, you should be. And if you're willing to believe and repent, confess his name, and be baptized, the water is ready for you if you have fallen short. His arms are stretched out for you, that he will receive you back home in his protection. If you're subject to the invitation in any way this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?